Hello, you beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of the Mental Corner Podcast, the show where I bring on guests from all different backgrounds to talk all the things mental health. I'm your host, Harry Pavin, and today I have the absolute pleasure of being joined by Bianca Thomas. Bianca is the host of the Why Power podcast and a clinical mental health counselor who specializes in cognitive behavioral therapy. She uses her personal extensive background to help others embrace their own identity, live in alignment with their highest values, and shift their limiting beliefs. Bianca was such a blast to talk to, and I really want to thank her again for coming on and having this super important discussion with me. So there's a couple things I wanted to address before we get into the episode today. First off, if you're watching the video, this is the worst facial hair you will ever see me have. I hate having a mustache, solely a mustache, because I do not possess a chin, and my double chin, if I even go like this, is a little unflattering to say the least, but it's for a good cause. So I am wearing this mustache for the month of November because November equals Movember, and Movember is this brand that, you know, raises awareness for men's mental health, it raises awareness for men's health, and it's all because, you know, far too often men are told that they shouldn't feel emotion, they shouldn't be feeling this way, that way, you're feeling weak if you express that, and we often don't communicate how we feel, which in turn leads to high suicide rates, high suicide attempts. And so, you know, Movember is just such a great initiative, and I just love to be a part of it. I have a link in my bio. If you donate to that link, it's a mustache page, all the proceeds go to Movember. And if you don't want to do that, that's completely okay. Just keep shifting the conversation, keep raising awareness, and let's do this thing together. Second, if you're watching the video for this episode, this shirt is mine. I will get more into it because, you know, episode 100 is coming out next week. Oh my God, that's insane. But we're releasing merch. Not a whole lot of merch, just kind of this one product. But all I'm going to say about it right now, I don't want to get into anything specific. I love this thing. It is so comfy. I'm not even just trying to sell that so you guys will buy it. It is so comfy. I'm so happy with how the artwork came out. I'll shout out the artist when I get more into it because they just did such a great job. I am very excited about all of this. Now, before we get into the episode today, guys, you know the drill. If you're listening, please like, comment, share, subscribe, give 5 stars if you're on that podcast platform. Share with someone who might want to hear this episode. It's a really great one, and I can't wait for you to listen. I'll talk to y'all very soon. Have a great rest of your day. Peace. We're good to go. Bianca, what's going on? Thanks so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
So before we get too into anything, I wanted to, of course, get to know you a little bit better. So what kind of got you inspired to start your journey, I guess? Like what inspired you to become a clinical mental health counselor?
So I was that kid who was like always too mature to hang out with anyone my age. Like I was always the weird person who couldn't like make normal friends because I always wanted to talk about their deep feelings and their emotions. And I was just that kid. So I always got along better with older people, older adults and whatnot. And I think that really came from honestly never fitting in as a kid. Like in my own family, I didn't fit in. I was like the quote unquote black sheep or the outcast. I was like the problem child. So I was basically a rebel without a cause. And I just wanted to connect with people. I don't know why. I don't really know where exactly it came from, but being that rebel and feeling like I was that outcast, I got into a lot of trouble, we'll just say that, as a kid. And honestly, I got myself caught up in a lot of really bad situations. You know, on my podcast, I talk a lot about the experiences that I went through at 16, ending up in like an abusive relationship or just always feeling like I was never enough. And that led me to like self-harming. It led me to not love myself, to be involved with people and in places that just really weren't good for me. And being in a family that's very much like everything was about image. Everything was about appearance. And I just never fit the bill, you know? Not that I wasn't beautiful or pretty or whatever, but just emotionally and mentally, I just never fit in. And so I think being that outcast for as long as I was and being, you know, that young kid who just really wanted to connect with people, I built this desire to really connect with people and to know people and to understand people. And I think it came from me wanting to understand myself. So I was an undergrad, I was doing psychology, but I had like no idea what I wanted to do with it, where I wanted to go. I didn't even know cognitive behavioral therapy was a thing until a cousin of mine told me about it. So I was like, I'm going to go into Freudian psychoanalysis and I'm going to get my PhD and I'm going to do this. And he was like, no, you're not. That's going to be the worst thing you could ever do. And there's nothing you're going to do with it. So he told me about CBT and I read more into it and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is all the stuff similar to like the Tony Robbins videos that I watch. Because I was very much into personal development with the people that I was involved with in my life, you know, the really close friends that I attracted to my life. This was actually after that abusive relationship ended. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is very similar to what Tony Robbins always says. And I just read more into it and I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is how I'm going to be able to do all of these things and really connect with people. It's through doing this program. And then, you know, I met my mentor, Alan, and I met my business partner, Amelia, and all of these things kind of played out. So now I'm here. That was kind of a long-winded answer. I hope I answered your question.
No, you did. No, that was great. I wanted to rewind a little bit. So when you were, when you were saying you were getting into trouble, just trying to like find a place to fit in and lashing out because you couldn't really, you know, fit in. Was there ever a time, like when was the switch from getting into trouble to transitioning to where you are now? Like, was there ever a time where you kind of took a step back and talked to yourself and was like, I need, this isn't working for me?
I don't think there was a one moment in time. I think it was the accumulation of many different events happening. So I met Kevin Palmieri. He's the host of Next Level University, or one of the two. I met him and we just got very close, very fast. And he introduced me to personal development. I told him it was BS, basically. I was like, they sit there and talk about the same stuff all the time. Like, why am I going to listen to this crap? And then I listened to it, and Tony Robbins is the first person that I listened to. And I'm like, oh, okay. Never mind. I was wrong. Sorry. So I meet him, and he just starts introducing me to all of these concepts and all of these things. And I'm like, this is why I never felt like I belonged. Because I'm not like a quote unquote normal person. Like I've never been, and that's why I never fit in. And I think it was meeting him that kind of made that shift for me. But the trouble that I was getting into was just different now. So I recently came out to my family. I like started doing personal development. I started my own business. And, you know, the trouble I was getting into before was kind of directed into that now, like not fitting the mold of what they wanted for my life. So it never like stopped. And I never had that like one conversation where I was like, you need to get it together. It was kind of just the culmination of all of these different things that were happening. And then I think the final breaking point for me, like this might be that one moment, was after I got out of a really bad relationship. This was about 3 years ago now. I was with a person who just didn't know how to love, you know, like so wrapped up in her own life and her own challenges, because she was an aspiring entrepreneur too. And I wasn't at that point. So I just it was really hard. So once that relationship was over, that's when I was like, all right, I'm going head in, like right in the deep end. I'm investing everything into personal development. And that's when I really started shifting and I really started noticing like bigger changes. So I guess that was like the one moment, but there was a bunch of small moments before that that led to that.
Yeah, man. Why, this is such a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Like, why is love so hard?
Oh man. I can only tell you from my experience, it's because I never loved myself. Honestly, I just never knew who I was. I never knew what I wanted, or even when I did know what I wanted, I never believed I was actually capable of getting it. So I settled for whoever I thought was going to be able to meet those like primary base level needs. And in every relationship, it was like, this isn't enough. Why am I in this? Why am I doing this? But that need to be loved, because I never felt loved as a kid. I never had the belief structure that I was lovable, that I was worthy, that I was good enough. So I consistently settled for less than I deserved. I basically attracted all of the like broken people to me, because that's what I attracted. I was like, I'm going to fix them. I'm going to heal them. Like, I'm going to be the one that changes them. And it never works ever. And in all honesty, that's kind of what happened in my last relationship. So I actually just ended a relationship 2 weeks ago. And I was very deep into my personal development. I was at the beginning of starting my business, and this was about 8 months after that breakup, that other one. And I just, again, I met someone and that need to be loved just popped out. And it's like, this is your chance. This is your chance. This is your chance to get love. And I jumped on it. And she's an amazing person. It was a good relationship, but again, just in the back of my head, I knew throughout the whole thing, like, I don't think this is right. And it took me a year of basically being kicked out of my family's house, having to move in with her a month after meeting her, and, you know, basically starting a life together, that I hit that point where I'm like, this isn't right. I can't keep doing this. I can't do this to her, and I can't do this to me. Like, it isn't fair.
Right.
So why is love so hard? Too many reasons. But I think one of the fundamental reasons is the belief structures that we have about ourselves. And that's primarily what cognitive behavioral therapy is. That's the type of therapy that I have my master's in. It's the beliefs that we form about ourselves throughout our entire life, right? And this is because of the where we grow up, the role models that we have around us, the people around us, the environment that we're in, the situations we go through. They allow us to develop these beliefs about ourselves. And these beliefs that we have about ourselves, they create a story about who we are, about what we're meant to be, what we're supposed to be, what we're allowed to be, how the world is, how other people are. And these beliefs run our life. Cognitive behavioral therapy kind of breaks it down, and it's like, okay, how are these beliefs impacting your day-to-day thinking? Mm-hmm. How is that impacting how you feel and what you do and how you interact with the world, and then how the world interacts back with you? We actually did an episode on the Why Power podcast called The Law. It was about the law of attraction. And anyone who hears about the law of attraction, they're like, oh yeah, it's woo woo BS. Like, that's not real. And CBT actually there's like a researched theory, and it's very similar to the law of attraction. It's called reciprocal determinism. And it's a big fancy word, but it's basically what you think, what you feel, and what you do. You put that out into the world, and then the world takes that and responds back to you. So for example, if I'm feeling bad about myself because I'm having thoughts that I'm not good enough. So I'm feeling bad. What do? I lash out at you. Mm-hmm. What are you realistically going to do? Probably.
Get mad, leave, get right. Overwhelmed. Yeah.
Right. How I respond, how I act impacts you and therefore comes back and re-impacts me and impacts the world. That's the law of attraction. What you put out is going to come back to you because of the thoughts and the feelings and the actions that you're actually putting out. So how does this impact everything else in the world? How does this impact our life? Why do people end up in the same relationships over and over and over? And they're like, I can't find anybody. Why do I keep ending up with the same kind of person? It's for this exact reason. Number one, the beliefs you have about what you're allowed to have in your life. And then number two, how you're acting on them, how you're feeling about them, what you're actually attracting into your life because of what you're putting out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, I've had my fair share of relationships as well, but I think one of the more recent ones, and obviously I'm not going to name names or anything, but, and I think I've talked about this situation specifically on the show before, but I just remember being in it and like really thinking, why am I here again? Like at the beginning, because my mom, she always does this thing where when I'm with a girl, she goes like, are you going to marry her? Like, what's so special about her? Nah. I'm like, Mom, relax. But like, she asked me the question again. And I was like, probably not. I don't. And she's like, so why are you with her? I'm like, I don't know. And it's that same reason. Cause I heard some similarities when you were sharing your story. Like I was so desperate to find love and acceptance in someone else. Because I couldn't give it to myself. So I was always looking for it somewhere else. And so that led to relationships that never worked out. Like I broke up with one relationship and then went right into another one like 2 weeks later.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
They're both like long-term relationships. And then near the end of the second one, you're wondering like, why do I feel so messed up? And then you realize like, I don't even know who I am. Because I'm looking for all of that validation elsewhere. From people who, I don't know, they didn't sign up for that.
That need for love, that need for validation, that need for someone to make it so that we're worthy is so intense. And it really hurts us. Yeah. And we don't recognize it until we're like in the middle of it and it's going horrible. And it's like, why am I in this again? How did I end up here again? I promised myself, I told myself I wasn't going to be here. What did I do? The reason we keep ending up in these relationships is because we haven't changed our beliefs yet. We haven't changed the story yet about who we are, what we want, and what we're willing to sacrifice for. The beliefs you have about yourself, they really determine everything. If you truly fundamentally believe I am not enough as a person, I'm not good enough, I can't have what I want, how do you think you're going to act day to day? What do you think you're going to be putting out there? You know, it's not law of attraction. It's you physically standing here as a person. What is the persona? What is the energy? What are the messages that your body language, that your face, that your emotions, that your beliefs are putting out there? Like, what are people actually seeing? And if we don't get a grip on these beliefs, if we don't recognize what are the beliefs that I have, what is the story that I've told myself over and over again that I believe with conviction? That is my truth. When did I tell myself that that's the story of who I am, and why haven't I changed it yet? Mm. The story that was running in my head for the longest time was, number one, I'm not good enough. And number two, I'm not lovable. Those are the two primary beliefs that ran me, and everything that happened in my life ran through those beliefs. It's like a filter. It's like when you develop this belief, it's like the color red, right? You have a filter that can only process red. And anything that even kind of looks like red, it comes in, right? Or we'll take like magenta and we'll tell ourselves that it's red, so we allow it to process through that filter. Right. Anything that's blue, right? So like anything that disconfirms your belief or anything that shows you otherwise, it can't process. We don't allow it to. It kind of just pings off, or we make justifications, or we minimize, or we do all of these things because it doesn't fit the idea. It doesn't fit the story or the belief. And so what I do with my clients is I get them to recognize those beliefs. That's one of the fundamental things that we do. What are the beliefs that are limiting you? What are the beliefs that you have about yourself and the story that you've told yourself with absolute conviction? And how is this impacting you? Because you are the culmination of the beliefs that you have and how you acted on them. Mm. Only difference between me and Tony Robbins is that earlier on in his life, he had these more developed beliefs. That's it. And he acted on them. Or Oprah Winfrey. The only difference between where she was at this point in her life and where I am is that she believed earlier on that she could have what she wanted.
Right.
So what are the beliefs that you need to have what you want? So what are the ones holding you back, and what do you need to believe to get what you want? Those are two of the biggest things that I do with my clients, and I help them recognize so that they can have the life that they want. But it all starts with your beliefs.
Mm. It's sad how most people view themselves.
Mm.
And like because there was a video that came up on my Instagram, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was a guy in Canada. He was holding a sign. And it said, like, how do you want to be remembered when you die? And he just stood out. He like stood up out in public and was holding the sign. And I think the first person was like, no one cares about me anyway, so why does it matter? And it's just like that. Like, there were three or four who thought the same thing. And it's like, that's like the majority of how people think is like, no one will care when I go anyway. But it's right. That like belief that no one really gives a shit. Like that's sitting in their head and it's bubbling for years, and they just wake up every morning convinced that no one gives a crap.
And so everything that they're going to do is going to confirm that belief, because we act and we think and we feel on the beliefs that we have. If I wake up today and I say, I'm going to have an extraordinary day, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to put positive music on. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to enjoy myself. And people see that. We're attracted to happy people. If I wake up and I'm like, wow, today's going to be a miserable day, what am I more likely to do? I'm going to put sad music on, probably not going to do my hair and my makeup. I'm going to dress pretty. I'm not going to dress as well. And then I'm going to be grumpy when I talk to people. But people don't recognize that. They're like, all of these things are happening to me. It's this external locus of control that I don't have control. These things are just happening to me, and I'm just the recipient of them. And it's really not until we can recognize, okay, what control do I have? What can I do? How can I prove to myself today that my life is meaningful, that someone does love me? You know, in all honesty, the last week I moved into an apartment for the first time by myself, right? So when I moved in with my ex, she had her own apartment. I moved in with her. So that was the first time I was ever like out of my parents' house. But this is the first time I've ever been truly by myself, having to do pretty much everything on my own. And I can't even tell you all of the negative thoughts that came into my head from those old conditioned beliefs of I'm not enough and I'm not loved. It was like, for the first time, my mind finally had the ability to be quiet. And all of those thoughts just came flooding in because I was in an unresourceful state. I was sad. I had just broken up with someone that I loved. All of these fears started coming up. And so what happens? All of those negative thoughts that I had pushed away and never addressed, they all start coming back. I'm alone. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. And all the while, people are messaging me all day, every day. We love you. We're here for you. We care about you, right? But again, that red filter. No, it's not true. No, I'm not loved. I call that little B, right? Little Bianca, like that part of my mind that reverts back to those negative thoughts, those negative beliefs. I actually named her. I call her little B. And so what I've been doing is talking to her from my highest self. So when I'm in that unresourceful state, I talk to her as if my highest self is kind of coming into me and I'm talking to her. Like, little B, I see you. I see you're in so much pain. How can we show you otherwise? And so some things that I've done actually over the last couple of years, but I've been reading them now. I have this album in my phone and it's called Love and Messages from Others. And I have hundreds of messages in there of people telling me how much they love me, how much they care about me, how I've impacted their life, all of these beautiful messages. And I just went back and read them. So for any person out there who's like, I'm not loved, I'm not good enough, I'm not X, Y, and Z, what I did was exposure therapy. I exposed myself to something different than the limiting belief that I have to prove to myself it wasn't true, right? So like if someone has severe obsessive compulsive disorder, right? What we'll do is we'll expose them to the fear to show them that they actually have more control than they think that they do and to gain mastery over it. And so changing your beliefs is very similar, right? You have to expose yourself or introduce yourself to a new belief and repeatedly over time expose yourself to that new belief to gain the mastery, to recondition a new belief that, oh, maybe I am good enough. You know, you're not going to go from I'm the biggest piece of shit in the world to I'm king of the world, right? Like that's not realistic. But so what do? We start developing a little bit of a shift. I'm the biggest piece of shit in the world. Maybe I'm not that bad. I'm not great, but you know what? Maybe I'm not as bad as I think I tell myself. And so you gain exposure to that. And then over time, that belief will build and build and build to where that filter isn't there anymore, to where you can see things from that new belief now. And it's hard. It takes a long time. I've been working on challenging these negative beliefs that I have my entire life. And it's a lifelong process. You're not just going to wake up one day and be like, I never have negative thoughts, right? Like that's not how it works. But what's going to end up happening is you won't sit in there as long as you would have. Those negative thoughts are going to come up. Those beliefs are going to come up, but you're going to have more control and more mastery over not feeding into them. When you're sitting down by yourself and you're having these negative thoughts, you're more likely to catch it and be like, oh, okay, that's little B coming out again. I see you, little B. We're not playing this game today. And you're able to do and think better things or different things to change your state, to change your mindset.
Right. Yeah. I remember the first time like my perspective on myself changed. I had been going to therapy like consistently and I was like, is this ever going to freaking work? Like, you know, you go and you go and you're like, I still feel like a piece of garbage. I still hate myself. And then one morning I woke up, and this was like, I don't even know how long into therapy it was, but I looked in my mirror, and usually I flip my mirror around. I would flip it around because, and my ex at the time, she used to hate it because she would have to flip her mirrors too, because whenever we hung out, I would just be looking in the mirror like, oh, you're so ugly. Like, you're such a fat piece of shit. And I was so skinny. Like, well, compared to now. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is I was swimming. So I was like, I was an athlete, but I was so hard on myself that I never saw myself in the body that I was in. So I would bash myself consistently. And so I had to flip my mirrors all the time in my house. But this one day it wasn't flipped. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, you actually don't look that bad today. And then everything in the room lit up. It was like, wow, it was like a snap. You're like, there you go. That's a step forward.
What was going on that day that allowed you to have that shift? Because that shift doesn't just come from nowhere, right? No. It's something happens. It's like a culmination of different things that happen that you're like, oh, maybe not. So what was that for you?
I mean, this was in my last year of university, and the year prior, my ex, she broke up with me, and this was the second long-term relationship I had been in. So not really her fault, but I had no identity. So when I got out of it, I was like, who the fuck am I? And I panicked. And so that was going into the summer, and then the following year going back to school, I had no idea what to do. And then it resulted in the whole story of mine where like I almost took my own life and things. But when I started getting the help, you know, I was going to therapy. I was finally opening up about stuff. It was after I went on the Men's Only Mental Health panel. So I was open to everybody. And I was just, I think it was the first time for me that not only did I feel like finally people know what's in here.
Yeah.
Like I had put up such a big barrier that I was like, okay, finally people can see that I'm not just a dick, you know, like I'm not a hothead. Like I'm going through stuff. It was the combination of that and the combination of, like you said, with that red lens, I finally gave myself the ability to listen to what people were saying, because my whole life I've had great friends. I've had great family, like great support system, but none of it ever stuck. For me,
it didn't matter. It's like someone could tell you till they're blue in the face, you're amazing. And you're like, no, I'm a piece of shit. And that's it. Cause that's all your beliefs are allowing you to process.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange because even like in my family, my dad and mom, incredibly supportive, incredibly loving, didn't matter. Yeah. Like, hey, we love you. You're worth it. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You stop that. So I guess it was just like, for months after that panel, it was like the first time I had finally accepted love. Not just from other people, because I had been like reaching for that for so long, but like I finally took the words that they were saying and kind of allowed it to help me love myself. Because then
it's like finally let yourself feel it and believe it.
Right.
Ooh. That must have been a powerful moment for you.
Man, I remember walking into the library that day and people were like, what's wrong with you? They're like, you look, did you lose weight? I'm like, no, I just feel good.
You felt lighter, so you looked it.
I felt lighter, yeah. Maybe I should go back to that. No, but I do. Yeah, it was, it's crazy. That feeling was wild.
I had a similar moment last week. So Emilia, my business partner, and I, we typically recorded remote just because she lived at her parents' house and I was living with my partner. So we didn't have like the space to set up any kind of studio. So last week I went to her house because she recently bought a home. I went to her house and we were going to record in person for the first time. And this was after my breakup. And I just woke up and I was like, something flipped. It was like for the first time I had to rely on myself, and I showed myself, oh, maybe you are good enough. Look at all this stuff you just did. You literally got an apartment 2 days after like being kicked out of your house. It's insane what you're able to do when you're forced, like when you're forced into it.
Right.
Like The Rock has this speech about being bat hit, like having his back against the wall, and like just the crazy laser focus that you have when you're in a pressure situation and you have to do something. So I had just spent the last couple of days just getting myself ready and moving and doing all of these things. And she saw me and she's like, B, you look so different. You look like, I haven't seen you look like this. I haven't seen this side of you in a year. And I'm like, I finally feel like myself. Mm. And it was because I removed everything out of my life that just doesn't fit anymore. Like leaving my family, oh my God, I can't even tell you. That was the hardest thing I think I've ever done. It was so painful because they are very Middle Eastern and they just didn't accept it. And me and my mom had always had problems. Like I think a lot of my limiting beliefs stemmed from her, because if you saw a picture of my mom is a bombshell. Like she is stunning, but she's that kind of person who doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter anything. She does not love herself. She doesn't believe in herself. And so her entire life has gone through that filter. And she unconsciously passed that on to us, like me and my two siblings. I think I got the worst of it because I'm so similar to her. So we like clashed heads all the time, which is why I was such a rebel child. But it was like leaving them was the hardest pain I had ever gone through. And then ending this relationship, it was just the last piece of my old life, the last piece that I had to let go of that was basically stopping me from pursuing my potential. From my dream is to be bigger than Tony Robbins and Oprah Winfrey. Like I have a whiteboard right in front of me that says, I am the female Tony Robbins. My intention is to be like him, but better, but more influential, more inspirational, make a greater impact on the world. And I just knew, I'm like, I can't get there in this relationship. And she was a great person, but I think you can tell when you're just not matched with someone, it's like you start resenting them.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening. She was resenting me. I was resenting her. We were fighting all the time. And it's just like, that's not a way to live. So this was the next, like, most painful thing I've ever done, because my little B, all of her needs were finally being met. She was loved. She had someone who was taking care of her. She finally felt like she belonged somewhere, but it was all kind of falsified. It was run under the beliefs that I can't have anything. So, oh, look, someone loves me. Finally, someone's finally given me everything that I've never had. But my highest self is like, yeah, but you need more. You need more and you're not letting yourself have it. So I finally did. I finally just, there was just this moment and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. This isn't fair. And so then like, it was like a couple of days later, I'm at Amelia's house and she's like, B, you look so different. And I'm like, M, I feel different. And I think this is finally going to be the time in my life where I'm able to thrive. And it's because I let go. Like I exposed myself to that fear, to that limiting belief that I can't do anything, that I'm not capable, that I'm not enough, and I'm not loved. And I am diving headfirst into the deep end. Like, no, you are. And hear all the reasons why. Like I'm finally giving myself permission to do that. And how many people out there, how many of your listeners right now, they're probably going through something similar. It might not be a relationship, but a job, a belief that they have, a friendship, a partnership, anything where they're like, this doesn't feel right, but I'm scared. This doesn't feel right, but I don't believe I can have more. I don't believe that I can do more for myself. Those limiting beliefs are going to hold you back and cause so much resentment for the rest of your life.
Right.
Unless you do what's hard now to give you what you want for the future. Les Brown actually has this really good quote. He says, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what's hard, your life will be easy. And I think what he's referencing is if you do the hard things, if you do what's painful, if you do what you've been avoiding, what you're going to get out of it, it's unbelievable. But so many of us, because of these limiting beliefs, we're so scared. We're scared to try. We're scared to put ourselves out there. We're scared to take a chance on ourselves. And so we don't. And so we end up in the same relationships over and over and over and with the same friends, with the same beliefs and the same feelings every day. And this is why people end up with major depression. This is why people end up with anxiety, with borderline personality disorder, obsessive compulsive, like all of these different disorders. They all stem from these things. And so the way to change it is to change those belief structures and to show yourself you're capable. And this is exactly what I do with my clients. Like one of my clients, she came to me and she actually came initially for fitness coaching because I was doing fitness coaching for a while. And so we started with that and we just completely pivoted to just like life coaching. This girl went from being in a dead end job that made her miserable, drinking every single day, like completely depressed. And her brother had actually passed away from a drug overdose like a couple of years prior. So her entire life was just trying to mitigate pain and doing what's easy so she doesn't have to feel what she's going through. And we literally were able to get her to challenge those beliefs and to recognize them. Now she owns her own business and she's making like 20K a month. And she's helping women like change their belief structures and get fit and get healthy. So if she can do that, what can anyone else do? You don't know what's possible for you until you try, but your limiting beliefs are going to convince you not to. And you really have to just give them the finger. Be like, F you, I'm going to do it anyways. But most people don't get to that point because the pain isn't enough.
Yeah.
For me, the pain was enough. I hit my breaking point. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm miserable and I can see what the future is going to be like. And it's going to be horrible.
Yeah. Man, why is it that when you make that leap and like, let's say it's friends, you cut some friends out who aren't doing you any favors, or a relationship where you break out of it, or even a job you just quit. Why does society view you as selfish when you make that first leap?
Because it doesn't fit the mold. It doesn't fit their beliefs. I actually did that. I quit my job. I had no backup plan. My entire family was like, are you out of your mind? Like, what are you doing? You don't have a backup plan. I put myself in a situation where I had no other options. Tony Robbins says this. He goes, if you want to take the island, you got to burn the boats. Meaning you have to have no other option. And now granted, this doesn't work for everybody, right? Like if you have a family, like if you're not aspiring to like something extraordinary, like you don't really need to do that. You can take steps into it, right? Like that doesn't fit for everybody. But I knew in my heart, that's what I had to do. I quit my job with no backup plan. And I'm like, I'm going to do fitness coaching. I'm going to make money off of doing this. The next day I had 3 clients signed up. The reason why people will think you are selfish is because they have developed a belief about who you are and what you're supposed to be. And when you go against that, it causes them to have to question themselves. And so you're seen as selfish. You're seen as wrong. You're seen as bad because you're basically holding up a mirror to them. When you start becoming successful, when you start doing the things that you've been saying you're going to do, but you finally start doing them, you are the mirror. And you actually said this perfectly. You physically avoided mirrors. Mm. How many people are avoiding mirrors? Maybe not physically, but mentally, emotionally. How many people won't look at their bank account because they hate seeing how low the number is? Yeah, exactly. How many? So how many other things do you think you're doing that with? Not you specifically, but we're avoiding. And so when people see you doing well, you are the mirror to them that they are not doing what they want out of life. And it is so painful. Mm. A huge mirror for me was my business partner and her boyfriend, who's my mentor. I actually set them up. Like, I'm the one that introduced them to each other. They have by far the greatest relationship I have ever seen, like ever. And that mirror, oh my God, I avoided it like the plague. I avoided them at all costs when I was in that relationship because it was so painful because I'm like, I know that's what I want. And I know this is not that.
Right.
So I avoided it because I was scared. And I was like angry at them. I'm like, it's not fair. You guys have this relationship. It's not easy for me. You know, I can't have what you guys have. And they're like, B, why not? You literally introduced us to each other. Like, what are you talking about? So other people are the mirror that we've been avoiding, and that's why they will see you as selfish. That's why they will get so angry at you. Because throughout their life, they've developed beliefs about the way the world is supposed to be, the way life is supposed to be. You go to school and you get out and you get a job and you get married and you have kids and blah, blah, blah. Well, what happens when someone's like, I got pregnant. I am quitting my job. I'm going to do this, this, and that. People are going to look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? That's not the mold that you're supposed to do. And that was an example. I'm not pregnant, but it was a bad example, but you know.
This is your announcement.
This is, oh my God, imagine. Hey.
So guys, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my God. But what about all of those people? Even Jeff Bezos, for example, right? He was working on Wall Street, making like six figures or something. He hated his life. He was quote unquote living the dream. And yet he was probably miserable. And what did he do? He left his job to start a business and everyone told him he was out of his goddamn mind.
Right.
And now look at him. He's the richest person in the world and everyone hates him, but you know what? Good for him. Let them hate.
Yeah. Yeah. It that like the voice of like people saying you're selfish because they don't want to face their own reality and things like that. It makes the leap seem so impossible at first.
Oh yeah.
Like when, even minor things where you're like, okay, maybe I need to actually take my profession seriously or my work mm-hmm. seriously. And then you go, hey guys, I can't come to the bar tonight. Sorry. And your friend group's like, oh, what the hell? Like you suck. Like even that something so minor, you're like, damn, maybe I should just go.
Yeah.
Contradict you, like question what you're doing. And that's the hardest part for people.
It's because we want to feel like we belong.
Mm-hmm.
We want to feel loved. We want to feel accepted. You know, that need for belonging is a fundamental need that we have. And when we don't have that, you know, back in like, before like civilized, I guess, times, right? Like in a pack, if you didn't fit, you were out and you're going to die. But the thing is, life isn't like that anymore, but that fundamental need to belong is still there. We actually just did an episode titled "Your Need for Belonging is Screwing You." The need to belong will get you to contradict yourself over and over and over again. It will cause you to break promises you've made to yourself. It will cause you to go back on your word because of that belief that, oh my God, I don't belong. I'm alone. I'm not loved. I'm in danger. What am I going to do? Even if, let's say, you decide to go on a diet, right? You decide, I'm going to make a big lifestyle change. I'm going to get healthy. If all of your friends, you're out and all of them are ordering cheeseburgers and like pizza and whatever, and you're like, nah, I'm going to get a salad, or I'm going to get like some chicken or like a steak or whatever. They'd be like, you think you're this? Like, it's fine. It's just one slice. It's just one piece. You're going to be fine. And because we feel like we need to belong, if that need for belonging is stronger and more powerful than that desire for what you want, you'll jump on the need to belong.
Right.
So something that I get my clients to do is develop an empowering reason. Why do you want to lose weight? Well, because I hate myself. Yeah, that's great. When it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you wake up and you're hungry, is that hatred for yourself going to make you not eat? Or do you think you're more likely to go eat? Well, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
What's the other reason? Well, I want to be happy. Okay. Why? Because I want to finally look in the mirror and not cry. There you go. That's the empowering reason. Because you want to love yourself, because you want to look in the mirror and feel so good. So when you have an empowering reason, when you have an empowering why, you can overcome anything. You can overcome any belief. You can overcome any obstacle that comes in your way. That is literally why we titled our podcast the Why Power Podcast. When you understand your why, you can overcome anything. And if it's a really empowering one, you really can overcome anything.
Now, how do people start finding their why?
That is a very hard question. And it's honestly one that I like on every single podcast I've listened to, any like influencer or whatever, they all talk about this, finding your why, finding your why. I don't think you just wake up one day and find it. I think a part of it comes from, what are the things that you've wanted? I don't think it's about finding your why. I think it's developing it. Develop an empowering reason why you want this. Mine, for example, why do I want to be the female Tony Robbins? Because my entire life, I never felt like I was good enough. My entire life, I never felt loved. And I know that pain of genuinely looking yourself in the mirror and thinking you are the most worthless thing ever. You might as well be dead. I know that pain. And I'm learning to overcome it. And I want to help others do it too. Because I want to be that person that my little bee needed when I was 2, when I was 5, when I was 10, when I was 16 being abused. But I told myself that I deserved that because I couldn't find love anywhere else. That's my why. I developed it through the experiences that I've been through. So I don't think it's about finding your why. I think it's about getting a good understanding of what are the things that you want. And then really asking yourself the question, like, why do I want this? How is this going to help me? How is this going to help other people? How is this going to meet all of my needs? And if your why meets all of your needs, you're more likely to act on it. You're more likely to go out and do it. Rather than if it's just, well, I want to be rich, right? That's not empowering. Like, yeah, you're going to get that money. And then what? What are you going to have after that? Probably nothing. And you're going to be miserable and you're going to lose it all, which is the story of many entrepreneurs. I'm sure you've heard many of them. I don't know if you know Dave Meltzer, but he's a good example of one. He was like a multimillionaire, had everything and completely lost it all because he had limiting beliefs. And then he rebuilt it again.
Mm. Yeah, man. Yeah, that why is so important. I think my last question for you, Bianca, and this one is also a tough one. It's probably just as tough as the finding your why, but like for people listening, maybe while they were listening, they're like, oh shit, maybe I don't actually love myself or respect myself as much as I thought I did. Mm. Or maybe they've realized that weeks before and they're still stuck in a rut. For the people listening who are in a situation like that, like how do they start that process of really loving themselves genuinely and unconditionally?
You have to start recognizing why you've convinced yourself you don't love yourself in the first place. What are the things you've told yourself? What are the beliefs you've developed? What's the story you have in your head about why you're not good enough? The thoughts that you avoid like the plague. Whatever the thoughts and the feelings are that you're avoiding, that you go on social media to avoid, you watch TV, you numb, you use drugs, you use food, whatever, right? Those thoughts and feelings that you've tried to avoid, that's why you don't love yourself. So how do you start working on it? You finally start listening to it. Listen and recognize all of the automatic thoughts that are coming into your head, how they make you feel, what they make you do. Like you have to pinpoint them. Because once you do, then you can start backtracking. And it's like, where did this come from? Where did I develop this? How did I develop this? What happened in my life that allowed me to get to this point? And once you backtrack it, then you can start saying, oh, that's why I feel this way. That's the belief that I have that causes me to think these things and feel these things and act this way. And then you can start working towards developing and conditioning that new belief, that more realistic but more empowering belief that gets you to become the person you want to be. And it is so hard. It's not even funny. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It hurts. It is so painful. But what I'm recognizing and what I've learned and what I've seen from working with all of the people that I have is that if you give yourself permission to go through that pain point, or what Amelia and I have developed is lonely land, right? If you allow yourself to go through lonely land and really go through it, like don't try to get into a new relationship really quick. Don't try to avoid what you're feeling. Don't avoid the thoughts you're having, like really sit there with them and understand them. What you are going to get because of it is like unfathomable. You will get everything you've ever wanted if you allow yourself right now to just go through the suck, to just be in the shit, be in the mud, and let yourself, like, really let yourself feel it. And then you can take the steps to get out of the mud. And that's where actually where we developed like that name, like that theory is how we developed the name Out of the Mud for the virtual event we do every month. It's called Out of the Mud.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Did that answer your question?
It did. It did very well. Yes, of course. For all my listeners who are listening and want to either learn more about you or follow your work, like where can they find all your stuff?
So they can, I'm active on Instagram and LinkedIn. So it's Bianca Alexa on Instagram. And you can also find us at the Why Power Podcast on Instagram. You can also probably follow Amelia. She posts a lot of the stuff that we do. I think hers is Miss Amelia May or something. I'll send you all of the links, but on Instagram, we are going to actually be doing a rebrand. So we're going to have like a new website developed and new pages and all of that. So if all of that's done by the time that this comes out, I'll send you all of that new information. But my Instagram right now is probably the best place.
Perfect. And I'll put those links down below once I get them. Bianca, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you. This has been great. I hope I was able to help serve.
Yeah, no, of course. And to all my listeners, I will see you guys next time.